is there, which is such a sweet thing. Actually, that section of scripture talks about conflict. So I don't know if anybody's had any conflict yet at camp, but I say yet because there's opportunities. Whenever somebody defines something a little bit differently than somebody else, that's called conflict. And so you may have said, you know what, I won that game, and somebody else may have said, no, you didn't. Or I wanted to go to the canteen or this, what's it called, snack shop? No. Yes. Training post, I'll get it. Why didn't we go there? I wanted to go there. We didn't get a chance to do that. Well, that's conflict. So take a minute right now to just turn to somebody close to you, maybe the person you were just talking to when we had a break, and say to them something similar to, I'm thankful to God for you. In your own words, say that to the person next to you. You guys really elaborated on that. That's good. That's good. All right, bring it back in. 3, 2, 1. Okay, shh, shh, shh. So my challenge to you is to think about why. Okay, shh, shh. Think about why. I just asked you to say that, so you may not have a why. It might just be because Andy said from a stage with a microphone, I'm thankful for you, and so I said that to the person next to me. But ask God to show you why. There's a verse that I held true in my life for a season of life when it was tough in Philippians 4, 6, and 7, and it talks about thanksgiving, but before that, it talks about anxiety. Has anybody ever heard that word anxiety before? Of course you have. And probably, aside from just heard of it, maybe you felt it, or maybe it's a label that you've put on yourself. Listen, shh, shh, shh. And you said, I'm an anxious person. That's not a label. That may be a struggle that you go through. It's not a label. But in God's word, it says, don't be that, but instead, with prayer and supplication, be, what's the word? Does anybody know? Thankful to God. This isn't an exact translation or word for word. But with thanksgiving, submit your request to God. And what happens after that? Anybody know? What happens after that? There's a weird and awesome transformation. There's this exchange. If I give my anxiety to God with prayer, petition, thanksgiving, he gives us what? Peace. He gives us peace that will guard what? That'll guard our hearts and our minds. So I challenge you guys to think about what you're thankful for, maybe in the person that's sitting next to you. That's just free. That doesn't have anything to do with what we're talking about tonight. But I thought about just taking the message that I had prepped and setting it to the side and just preaching from Obadiah. like I would need to do some research myself, but I was impressed. Some of you got the Obadiahs. Who got Obadiah? Like, did you get anybody get all of them? The Obadiah versus Obi-Wan, close to. All right, that's all right. Quick question for you: is there anybody? Does somebody have a birthday today? Is it somebody's birthday today? You guys are all looking around, but you would know. Are we celebrating a birthday today? Make that person raise their hands, and I don't want to embarrass anybody. Is it your birthday today? Oh, she's just trying to embarrass you. Okay. Well, listen, we want to celebrate. If there is a birthday program team, let me know. We want to celebrate that. Hey, real quick, you guys may hear and notice, shh, shh, shh. You may hear and notice that there's some storms that are coming in. Okay, but listen, we just talked about anxiety, so you're fine. But here's what you need to know. Shh, 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 shh. You guys are in the right place. We have our staff that are watching it to make sure that we're watching the radar. We're aware of what's coming in. And if storms come, you know what we're going to do? We're going to stay in this room, okay? So we'll get through it together. But if you hear some thunder or something, if we need to make a change, we will. But just want to let you guys know. Sounds good? Well, if you need to go to the bathroom, there's bathrooms back there. I'm a little tinny, guys. Is there anything we can do? Tech team. What perfect timing. I just told you it was going to happen. And it did. All right, listen. Shh. Hey, guys. Join me in prayer, all right? Join me in prayer. Join me in prayer. Listen. Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for the privilege to be here. And your peace in the middle of hard times and uncertainty is a mystery. There's lots of things about you that are mysterious that we don't quite understand. You provide peace to those who ask for it. Sometimes it comes in different ways than we expect, and sometimes it's in the middle of really hard stuff. But we ask for that peace tonight. We ask for a greater understanding of it, and a greater understanding of you. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I gave you guys some points to ponder today. What were you supposed to ponder? Does anybody remember what you were supposed to ponder today? Somebody raise your hand. What were you supposed to ponder today? I pointed to one person. Go ahead. Close to that. Not quite it. Go ahead. That wasn't the point to ponder. Did anybody write it down? It was the end of this last chapel. Point to ponder. Let's see. This. I'm going to try this side. Go ahead. What things might you be desiring in place of desiring Jesus? So God may have brought some of those things to mind. He also might bring those things to in front of you based on circumstances. And when that happens, what do you do with those things? You can ask for accountability. I have a friend who, actually, a student at our school, he's a freshman, and at our school, I don't know if it's this way at your school, sometimes students have cell phones, and they're not supposed to, and if they have them out, a teacher will say, okay, give me your phone, and so, you know, we'll take it, and we'll lock it up. At the end of the day, you'll get it back, but I'll walk past, and sometimes this student, his name's Luke, he'll say, Mr. Hodges, because I go by Mr. Hodges at the school, he'll say, can you hold on to this for me? And he says, I'm really distracted by it. And everyone in his class is like, what? Like, who would do that? He just willingly gives it up, but he shows that maturity to say, okay, I need accountability. I'm distracted by this thing. Something that's distracting you or choosing you're desiring over Jesus, you can choose to abstain from that. You can just do it for a short amount of time. You can remove it altogether. You can fast. And fasting is specifically from food. There's all kinds of instructions in God's word how to do that. But you guys, we have a world that is broken and fallen. In Matthew 16, 33, it says, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So we need to get our desires in check. God calls us to put him first. Sometimes we can remove something, he can remove something in our life or give us the chance to look at it differently. So I want to tell you a story about we talked about Christmas a little bit ago. This was a, oh, those are the, I think we're on the wrong slides, guys. Lord, I need you. There it is. Have you guys seen a bike like this before? This was, I think, my Christmas present. I know it was my Christmas present, but I think it was when I was in the sixth grade. Who's in the sixth grade right now? Or was, you're going into the sixth grade. When I was in sixth grade, it was 1995. You guys, the years start coming and they don't stop coming. I'm telling you, 95 wasn't that long ago. It doesn't feel like. And to this day, it was one of my favorite Christmas gifts. People ask me, like, what was your favorite Christmas gift? This was one of them. It's a Dino Air GT. It's got those cool spoke rims, and mine had pegs on there, so I could do all kinds of cool tricks, but I really didn't. I let some of my friends ride on the back of it. But I got it in Christmas, and where I lived in Southern Illinois, it was still cold at Christmas time, and so I couldn't ride it a ton, so I rode it a little bit like inside my garage. And then when it got warmer, I rode it outside, and I begged my mom, can I ride it to school when it got warmer? And so she eventually said yes. She let me ride it to school, and I rode, and I got there, and some other kids who rode their bikes to school got there early were around, and I rode up to them, and there was this kid, I still remember, his name's Dustin, and Dustin shouted out to me, and he said, isn't there a weight limit on those bikes? And he said that to me because I was a little bit bigger of a kid and taller of a kid. And Dustin was a shorter guy, and for whatever reason, he felt the need to cut me down like that. So, man, instantly, you know, I wanted to get this bike because I had some other friends that had bikes similar, and I wanted to fit in, but when he said that, I was like, man, I'm not part of this group. And I felt cut down, and I was embarrassed, and this bike that I treasured and cherished, it was like, what's the point of having this anymore? I went home and talked to my mom about it, and she could tell something was wrong, and I just was kind of, I don't remember if I threw my bike down or whatever, but she could tell there was something up, and my mom had a relationship, she and I had a relationship where we talked about this kind of stuff. And I told her what happened, and she said, you know, Dustin's got a pretty rough home life, and he probably didn't mean to say that. For whatever reason, he's got some insecurities, and he chose to take out his insecurities on you. And it still hurt, but God used that experience for me to do a couple things. One, it allowed me to empathize with this guy who had hurt my feelings and had kind of bullied me a little bit. And I saw, okay, he's got some struggles, he's got some hurts. And two, before that point, this bike was almost everything to me. If I could have slept with it, you know, like underneath my pillow, have you guys ever done that? Like I got a baseball glove when I was younger and I slept with it underneath my pillow. I hear about like people getting presents. I would have done that. I just wanted to be around this bike. It was my identity. It was so cool to have it. I was in. And then as soon as he said that, I was like, okay, I'm not in this group anymore, and it hurt. But I think that situation, that hurt, when he said that, it allowed me to realize that this thing isn't my identity. This isn't my purpose. This isn't where I get my value in things. Right around the same time, in sixth grade, I started to grow in my relationship with the Lord, and I actually got baptized that spring around the same time. And I had seen some stuff that was hard, you know, just like that. My friend group kind of started to go different places, but I drifted toward friends at my church. And I regard that time in my life as hard, but also as that hardness was a mercy of the Lord to draw me closer to Him. So there's things that God calls us to, and we're going to look at some scripture that has to do with that kind of stuff, and we're going to continue in John 6. But first, you know, putting Him first, I just want to tell you guys, it doesn't mean that you're going to end up as a pastor one day. You may. God may be calling you to that. He may be calling you to a camp speaker or a theology professor. He may call you to the trades. He may call you to provide care for your family. You may be an astronaut. Who's going to be an astronaut out there? Anybody? Who's going to be a congressman or woman to make a change in our government? Who feels called to that? Who wants to be a scientist or a professional athlete or maybe the future program director at Miracle Camp? Question mark? Whatever you do in your profession and in your personal life, you're called to do that for God's glory. There's a guy named Martin Luther who was the father of the Protestant Reformation, and he's a really, really cool person to study. There's a good movie in early 2000s just called Luther that you can watch about him. But he said, you know, if you're a Christian shoemaker, is anybody a shoemaker out there that's in your trade? Some people have that as their last. I knew a girl named Rachel Shoemaker. So he says, if you're a Christian shoemaker, you're not supposed to go on putting like little crosses on every shoe, but instead, you should make good shoes because God is interested in good craftsmanship. Okay, so that's something that God calls us to is just excellence for Him. So let's look at this section of Scripture. Okay, and it talks a little bit about a feast. In your small groups, when you guys talk, you're going to talk a little bit about your favorite feasts. Yeah. It's still far away. It's still far away. You're going to talk about your favorite feasts, and there's some cool examples of feasts in God's Word. So Psalm 23, where it talks about the Lord is my shepherd, we'll talk about that in a couple days. It says that He prepares a table, a meal, a feast in the presence of my enemies. There's a really cool time in 1 Kings 19. Has anybody studied the story of Elijah? There's some really awesome things in the story of Elijah, but there's a part where Elijah struggles with anxiety and depression, and he says to God, he's open to God, he says, you know, I don't think I can do it anymore. What does God do? Do you guys know? He sends an angel and he gives him a cake, they say it in my translation, and some water. And God tells him to just drink and eat and sleep. And then again, he says, drink and eat and sleep. It's so cool. So you may think of a lot of suppers, you may think of a lot of feasts, but we're going to look at one that Jesus talks about. And it's in John 6, 41 through through 71, the rest of the chapter. So you guys turn there, John 6, 41 through 71. And I am just going to share some observations. It's a longer passage, so we're not going to read it together. I know you guys had it in your devotional reading for today. But here's some observations from that section of Scripture. You guys good? Who's with me? All right. Hang in there. You guys are doing good. All right, listen up. So in the first section, verses 41 through 51, Jesus says he's the bread of life that's come down from heaven. He says that he's the living bread. In the chapter before, he told the woman at the well, you guys need to read this. It's a beautiful account. He says that he's living water. So he says living water, living bread, and he's basically saying that I should be the one to satisfy you only. He's saying that's why he came to satisfy. Hey, guys, we've talked about the lightning and that it's going to happen. You guys are distracting me when you go, oh, are we okay? Let's focus, okay? You may notice it, but don't make other people notice if they don't want to. Got me? Okay. Good. So Jesus is saying that if you believe in him as the only one who will satisfy your deepest desires, you will have eternal life. Romans 10:9 says that. It says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God was raised from the dead, you will be saved. So God the Father is the one that draws you near to him. And then verses 52 through 59 is the part where people are like, I don't know. Okay, so look at this section of Scripture. Jesus says, eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. Everything he is, the whole purpose for Jesus to be here on this earth was to offer himself as a sacrifice, and we have to accept that gift. That's a paraphrase, but that's what he's saying. Some people heard that, and they were like, this is a difficult teaching, and it says in that section of Scripture that some people left. I told you about my friend, his name's Adam, who right now has said, I'm not following the Lord. You guys can pray for Adam. But some people say that, and they hear Jesus teaching spiritual truths with a physical example. Okay, so something that's spiritual with a physical example. Those two worlds exist together. We have a spirit. We have a body. We're both of those things together. And so Jesus would talk about that all the time. He would say, talk about being born again, and people would be like, I don't know how that's going to work. I don't know if they're going to admit me into the hospital for that. He would say he's the vine, and we're talking about that, the true vine, on Friday. He would say that we're the sheep, and he's the good shepherd. And he would compare the Holy Spirit to, like, a dove or the wind. So there's all kinds of physical comparisons to something that's spiritual. And just because it's hard to understand, many people want to figure it out the easy way, and they can't, and they give up. If you can't go, hey Siri, hey Google, hey Alexa, or just Alexa, and get the answer, then I don't want to put the work in, and I think a lot of us feel that way. So after hearing this call to discipleship, many who were his disciples, his followers, turned away, it says, and they no longer walked with him. So you may get to a point in your life where something happens, and you kind of say, I don't know if I can follow a God who. I don't know if I could follow a God who would allow these things to happen. I don't know if I could follow a God who will ask me to give up this thing that I love. I don't know if I can follow a God who would care about what gender I am. I don't know if I could follow a God who wouldn't answer my prayer the way I wanted it to be answered. If you learn some truth about God and it causes you to think, like, I don't know if I could follow a God who, I would guess that you probably were following a different God, lowercase g, that you made up. And you said, here are all the things that are true that are okay about God, but when I learn this part about his word, about what he says about me, what he says about the world, and that just seems like it doesn't fit, I can't comprehend it, I can't understand these things. Okay, I think I can't follow this God. You guys, we are not responsible to make up things that fit and things that don't. God's word will tell us about who he is. So we need to take that. So after some of his followers leave and things get hard, Jesus asks his 12 core disciples. He says, so do you guys want to leave too? You guys know what happens after that? It's kind of sweet, and as you might guess, if you had to guess, if you didn't know exactly what happened, but you knew the character of some of the disciples, there was one that was called a zealot. Who was called a zealot? Do you guys know? Simon Peter was called a zealot. Yeah, so Peter was a zealot. A zealot is somebody who just, like, all action, let's go right away. I'm all for it. Ride or die, no matter what, let's make this happen. So Peter, right away, he responds to Jesus and he says, Lord, whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. I think it's such a sweet thing that Peter chose to use these words. He could have said, where should we go, Lord? And he could have said, you walked on water and you made wine from water and you multiplied loaves and fish and you did all these signs. And I want to see more of that. I want to be entertained. I want to be provided for. I want the things that you have to give. But he didn't say that. He said, I want to be with you eternally. You have the words of eternal life. We're not leaving. We're sticking around, even if it's hard. Personally, I think I'm a little different. I don't know if you guys are that way, but I sometimes struggle with that, with obedience, with taking the step the way that we should. My wife and I have been married, it'll be 5 years, I think I told you in October, and for four, we've been asking the Lord, Lord, would you allow us to grow our family? Would you give us a baby? We're praying about that. And it's hurtful because it's something it's the desire of our heart. But God has had to address in so many ways when our friends get pregnant and have kids, when we hang out with our nieces and nephews, when we see that part of life happening for other people, he's had to address that he's enough for us, and that desire isn't wrong, but he fulfills it in other ways. And I don't know if you guys have experienced this in your life. You're young, but maybe you've waited on something, and suffering is a part of life. And in fact, they say that the first book that was ever written down in God's word, do you guys know what it is? Genesis is in the beginning. It tells about the beginning, but it was the book of Job. And the book of Job is all about finding God in suffering and making sense of suffering. And Jesus has said, you will have trouble in this world, but take heart. I have overcome the world. So the process of giving up your desires and saying, I still care about this, but Jesus, I care about you more, that process is called sanctification. Everybody say sanctification. That word isn't made up. It's in God's word, that word, but it's a fancy word that just is talking about being a disciple of Jesus. It's being shaped to be more like Jesus and who he's called us to be, and it means that we're meant to grow in our relationship with him. We aren't here to just make sure that you guys have gotten your get out of hell free card. And you've prayed this prayer, and when you go home, you can say, yep, I'm a Christian. And then you can live however you want, not connected to Jesus. Okay, so we're going to talk in a couple days about what it means to live an abundant life, and it may be different than you think. But I'm here to ask you guys, what are you hungry for? That's what Jesus is asking. He says, what are you hungry for? He says, are you hungry for God to affirm your identity? Listen up. Are you hungry for him to answer a prayer? And if he doesn't, then you're out. Are you hungry for God to provide that young man or young woman to make you feel complete? You guys, I used to think when I was growing up, and I would see friends that would get, like, you know, in a relationship, and dating is kind of ridiculous, I think, at any age, but especially in middle school. But you feel like, I want that thing. And you could fill in the blank with so many things that you desire. But have you ever gotten that thing and it doesn't fulfill you? When that happens, that is a mercy from God. That is because his loving kindness doesn't allow something to take the place in your heart that he should be in. He should be sitting on the throne of your heart, okay? And if you're not hungry for that, but you've started a relationship with him, he is jealous. Everybody say the word jealous. He is jealous for you. Now, jealousy sounds like a bad thing. If we're jealous, that's not really a good thing to manifest. Like, you know, if you're jealous, like, oh my goodness, you got a chips galore. Oh, I wanted a chips galore. Oh man, that sounds so good. Oh, they're sold out. Oh, I'm so jealous. That's a stupid example, but God is jealous after us. Why? Anybody want to tell me why? Why is God jealous after us? Now, if I was jealous of your chips galore, I mean, that's kind of ridiculous because it's your chips galore, but if I bought it and I was about ready to eat it and you took it and you threw it in the trash, I would be jealous of that. I would say, you shouldn't have done that. We all, it says in God's word that we're created in his image, but we are not all children of his. We're talking about that in future nights too, but you guys, he's jealous after us, and he will allow us and move things from our life to allow us to focus and be hungry for him. As we wrap up, thank you guys for focusing and listening. I think we're doing okay outside. I haven't seen anybody they're in the back and they're watching stuff. Everybody wave at our tech team and our program team in the back. They've been looking to see, like, is everything okay? And they haven't held up a big sign and said, that we all need to panic and flee, so we're not going to do that. But it's raining, you guys. It's raining. It's okay. You've probably experienced that before. If not, it's kind of fascinating. We'll make sure you get time to go out and see it. Listen, as I land the plane, here's a couple things I want to show you. Here's our big idea for today. You must eat the bread to live, okay? That's simple, but it's complex, and it's not concrete. Some of you guys, around fourth grade, I was a psychology major in school, and I know that this is true for me, and most people's brains start to develop, and you only have concrete thought. So you're not really supposed to say to younger kids, you can have Jesus in your heart, because they're like, well, what artery is he part of, or what, what chamber of my heart? I don't understand, because I'm a concrete thinker, but Jesus means this in an abstract or figurative way. He's saying that he needs to be the only one to satisfy. I also want to leave you with this. We are going to go through all these I am statements, and you guys, at the end of this week, will have, I don't know if it's going to be a rap or not. Is anybody out there rap? I'm not a rapper. So we may, at the end of the week, need somebody to beatbox and somebody to rap, but here's how this one goes. Listen, it goes like this. I am the bread of life, hunger only for me. That's all you get for today, but as we go more for each chapel with the I am statements, you're going to see just a simple rhyme that you can remember it by. Who's my rapper? Some of you guys, like, pointed. All right, everybody's pointing. All right. We can talk about it if you want. All right. AJ, all right, those are my initials, Andrew Joseph, so I'll remember that. Guys, let me pray for us, and then before we do anything else, the band is going to come up, and we're going to sing that song, Lord, I Need You, one more time. And as we do that, I want you to think about, maybe there's some things that you've been hungering for that are not of him, okay? And if you need somebody to pray about that with, I would be glad to do that. Your counselor would be glad to do that. A staff member here would be glad to do that. But just take some time. Sometimes when I was your age, and even sometimes now at my age, I think there's something that's expected of me. But we've been together. This is our third chapel. We don't expect you guys to stand up if you feel like you need to take a minute to be still, to listen to God, to pray to him. You don't have to raise your hands up. You don't have to sing this song, but take time to ask him, am I putting something before you? And he'll reveal it to you, all right? Let me pray for us, and they're going to worship. They're going to lead us in worship. Father, we thank you for the privilege to be here tonight. We thank you for keeping us safe in the middle of a storm, literally and figuratively. And God, we thank you for how much you pursue us. You're jealous after us. Those of us who know you and are called your children, you're jealous after us. Draw us near to you, myself included, more and more, and help us to see how good and sweet and abundant that life can be. God, we pray all this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen.